We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
I figured it out. Voice of Reason, the solid, hold it down, the beige rage, and the agitator.
The Breakfast Club.
Everyone just kept telling me to prep for this.
One word to describe the Breakfast Club would be black.
Impact in the culture.
People watch the Breakfast Club for like news and really be tuned in, man.
I don't even know what to call this Breakfast Club. It's like brunch.
Envy, Yee, and Charlamagne.
Wake that ass up. Get out of bed and listen to the Breakfast Club.
I'm waking up.
Good morning, USA.
You gonna say, hey fam?
I didn't know if Charlamagne was here or not.
No, he's not.
I didn't know if he was on.
Oh, at the crib?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, well, hey fam.
Hey, there you go. It's Tuesday.
Woo. It's up on a Tuesday.
Good
what happened
morning.
To McConan?
I don't know.
Let me Google where McConan is. That was a joint, right?
Yeah, I don't know what happened with McConan. But it's Tuesday, and the weather on the East Coast is disgusting. It's a nor'easter in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area. So it took a little extra time to get to work this morning. All right, the traffic is nasty. Flooding is all over the place. There's cars that are stuck in the flood, so you got to dodge the cars. It's almost like a game of Mario Kart.
I'm just glad I got my roof redone after that last really bad storm and everything was flooding.
Yeah, it is disgusting out there. I believe that a couple of schools are closed on this area, so definitely if you live on the East Coast and the weather by you is disgusting, check to see if your kid's school is open. I know my the oldest son, his high school is closed today. They're going to be doing it from the crib. So that's the only thing that sucks. When your school closed, now it's not
now
really
you
got to
work from home.
Now you got to work from home. It's no longer, well, I got a day off. No, because now you still got to log on. You still got to get up. You still got to do everything. So the weather is disgusting and nasty out there today. How was your driving?
It actually wasn't bad at all.
Not at all?
It was pretty regular. Yeah, Brooklyn wasn't bad. Well, at least where I was.
Really?
I'm on my way into work. I didn't have any issues.
Okay. All right.
But, I did Nick Cannon's show yesterday, so that's going to be airing today.
Nice. Shout out to Nick Cannon.
So if you have an opportunity to watch it, it was cute. It's mm-hmm. nice. He got a nice set. I like Nick. He's very positive all the time.
Yeah, very, very positive. And on today's show today, we got a couple of people stopping through. We have Pinky Cole. Mm-hmm. She owns Slutty Vegan. You know, Slutty Vegan is a restaurant. She has, I believe, 2-3 restaurants. She has about 5-6
trucks. And she has a bar,
trucks.
Too, that she opened.
She has a bar. She's opening 20 more restaurants. Entrepreneur.
I love it. And
sister.
The food tastes so good. When
yes.
I tell you, you would not even think, oh, this isn't meat. This is nasty. You would, you know, in your head, people say that if they've never tried it. But when I tell you it's delicious, it's better than a regular burger.
Entrepreneur. So she will come in and tell you how she got her start and how successful that's going. And also Derek Hayes, he owns a successful food truck. He owns a restaurant as well, a bunch of them.
He
does cheesesteaks. Yeah, mm-hmm. he named it after his
Philly.
Dad, Dave's Cheesesteak, and he does well. And also, I got a brother of mine. His name is Derek Lewis. He is the president of Pepsi South.
That's your brother because he went to Hampton.
That's
also.
My brother, yeah, because he went to Hampton University. He graduated Hampton. And it's not too many black people that are executives at that type of a a company that
I thought
high.
You were going to say not too many black people that went to Hampton. I was like, now Envy.
You stop it. True. So we're going to kick it with Derek Lewis. He'll be joining us this morning. All right, entrepreneurs. So if you want to know how to get in the game, how to get in the business, you want to be an executive, you want to be learn how to be an entrepreneur and how to do it the right way in a successful way, we're going to be kicking it with them this morning. All right. Well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about?
Well, we'll talk about somebody whose wealth surged by $36 billion. It's the largest single-day gain ever recorded by Bloomberg. And his company is now worth more than $1 trillion.
All right. We'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Hit it, Red. Let's go.
Hey,
let's
come
get
on, guys.
Front page news.
Stop it.
Now, Monday Night Football. The Saints beat the Seahawks 13-10. Now, Major League Baseball World Series Game 1 is tonight. The Braves take on the Astros at 8:09 p.m. And what else we got, Yeezy?
Hold on. I'm checking my stock on this public app, seeing how it's doing. Okay, so let's talk about Tesla. Tesla just became the sixth company in U.S. history to be worth $1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
How exciting is that? And according to reports now, they are saying this is the largest gain for an individual. His net worth just jumped. Elon Musk's net worth just jumped to $288.6 billion on Monday.
That's crazy.
Yes, his gain... Insane. $36 billion. It's the largest single-day gain Bloomberg has ever recorded.
Yeah, and that's all because what Hertz said, that they're going to be taking a fleet of Teslas, right, as some rental cars?
Yeah, they did 100,000 Teslas for its fleet.
That's crazy.
And Morgan Stanley auto analyst just raised his price target on Tesla to $1,200 a share.
Wow.
So it's the second fastest company to hit the $1 trillion mark. You know who was first?
Who?
Facebook.
Oh, Facebook.
Yeah,
oh.
The fastest. They needed just over 9 years from its IPO to reach $1 trillion. It took just more than 12 years for Tesla to reach that $1 trillion mark.
Nice.
Woo. All right. So, yeah, I mean, what can I say? Congratulations to Elon Musk and mm-hmm. everybody who has that stock.
Invested in that stock. Absolutely. I'm surprised with Tesla, and I'll be honest with you, because you don't really see too many car manufacturers that come, that are new, that do that well. You know, you're looking at its history. Most of them fail. So the fact that Tesla is successful and continuing to be successful, that's great.
And you know, he owns 20% of Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is the primary driver of Elon Musk's wealth.
Wow.
So that also funds ventures like SpaceX, too,
wow.
by the way.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah. And you know, I guess what it is, though, is that he did find a niche, right? People are trying to think about the environment more and think about the cost of gas going up.
Yeah, but, you know, so many manufacturers have electric cars. You know, you look at Ford and you look at Chevy and you look at all these other places. They have electric cars, Toyota, but it's just like Tesla.
But when you think of it, you think of Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla just looks a lot better. And these companies been doing electric cars for longer, but Tesla just looks, the designs are better.
Well, his fortune is now $100 billion over Jeff Bezos.
Nice.
All right. Now, Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida wants to offer police officers who refuse to get vaccinated, where there's requirements for them to get vaccinated, he wants to give them $5,000 to relocate to Florida. He said, we will treat you better. And according to DeSantis, he said, we're actually actively working to recruit out-of-state law enforcement because we do have needs in our police and our sheriff's department. So in the next legislative session, I'm going to hopefully sign legislation that gives a $5,000 bonus to any out-of-state law enforcement that relocates in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell people to take the vaccine when you have a lot of healthcare workers, a lot of police officers, firefighters, teachers that don't want to take it. You know what I mean? It's very difficult to say, oh, yeah, take it. But then you look at the healthcare workers or you look at the police officers and they're like, I ain't taking it. It's very difficult.
Yeah, I was reading an article about one senator who was having a meeting in her office, and she actually had beat breast cancer, or she had breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was asking another senator when I'm trying to remember who it was exactly. I think it was like somebody that worked in the government in Florida to please wear a mask, but she had not revealed her cancer. She was like, you know, I am a person whose immune system is compromised, and they refuse to wear a mask.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know how crazy that is? If somebody specifically says,
please
and everybody
mask,
in
yeah.
her office had their mask on, and they came in, three of them, in a small office with no mask on, and that's uncomfortable, especially when you know you have health issues.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And funny, if you take a Uber or Lyft, Now they have this thing sometimes where they make you take a picture of yourself wearing the mask before the car comes and gets you.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot because people get into it over those masks.
Absolutely.
Going into restaurants, you know, if there's requirements, there's requirements.
Absolutely.
And that is your front page news.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, phone lines are wide open. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, DJ Envy. This is Courtney from Atlanta.
Courtney from Atlanta. What up? Get it off your chest.
What's up? Hey, Angela. How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Driving it to work. I just wanted to get off my chest. I don't know if y'all saw on Twitter yesterday, but people were really beefing and upset that Tiffany from Insecure is an AKA.
I saw that.
That was hilarious.
She's acting.
It's been 5 seasons. She's been an AKA. Her and Molly have been AKAs for 5 seasons.
It's so ridiculous.
Because she wore pink and green.
Yeah. I mean, you have to act. If you're acting in a role, you have to act.
Exactly.
Not correct.
Exactly. I was so pissed off yesterday when I saw that.
Yeah, now, correct me if I'm wrong. But
Issa's response was so funny. Like, I love Issa. You know, Issa don't give a
Are you a Greek? Correct me if I'm wrong, because I did think it was ridiculous, but I'm not a Greek. I thought the rules were nobody could wear the letters if you not a Greek, regardless if you acting or not.
But no, but you're acting, just like they did in the Cosby Show.
I mean, I agree, but I'm telling you what they feel.
So it's like blackface?
No,
I don't know. I'm not arguing it. I think it's stupid as hell, too, but I think y'all whole generation kind of stupid. But it's just like, I don't know. Our people in the Greek organization say, you're not supposed to wear the letters, even if you're acting. That's why, and that's why they say so many times in movies and TV shows, they always use fake fraternities and sororities for that reason.
Well, you can't attack a person for doing their role. Ain't nobody gonna give up a role.
Which I never noticed, by the way, because, you know, I didn't go to college. So you couldn't tell me Phi, me, and all them Capagamda Lou and all that. I didn't know that they were. Remember Captain Lambda Lou?
Lambda Lou.
I didn't know none of that stuff
you
was
about
fake
Lambda,
back
Lambda,
in the
Lambda,
day.
From Revenge of the Nerds?
Something like that from Revenge of the Nerds.
But most shows, they didn't use real fraternities and sororities.
They used real ones, I believe.
Somebody said that yesterday, but I don't remember.
I haven't seen Stomp the Yard. They used some in Stomp the Yard.
Mm. Yeah, Stomp the Yard they did, and I think Different World they did. I think the Cosby Show.
If you
they
wanted
did.
To be realistic, it like
nah, Cosby Show they world, definitely
Cosby
didn't.
Cosby Show they did.
Nah, they didn't even use real colleges in Cosby.
I think in Revenge of the Nerds,
you're right because you killed me.
I didn't know that either.
But you know that's part of the reason. Thank you, brother. That's part of the reason why I went to Hampton. I thought Hillman was Hampton.
That's my point. I didn't know growing up. I didn't go to college. So I thought all this stuff was real. I didn't realize till I got older that this stuff was fake.
Hello, who's this?
This is Melissa. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. Get it off your chest.
DJ Envy. Good morning, Charlamagne. Good
peace,
morning.
Peace.
Everybody
hear me? I'm going to make all you guys laugh. I'm an overnight Uber driver. Uh-oh. These people don't understand. Put your mask on. They don't get it.
So right. Why you don't kick them out?
Because I have to pay for my kids, my guy.
Oh, got you.
And then they probably give you a bad rating.
I got a daughter in college. Oh, Angela Lee, you don't even know, love. They fabricate stories when they call the customer service.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them all type of craziness.
Yeah, people are evil.
They take pictures of you with your mask on and how they lie and say you don't have it on. I do not know.
What school your daughter going to, Hillman?
No, my daughter goes to Cheney University.
Cheney, okay. But you know, there are some Uber drivers that don't wear their mask, though, as well.
Well, I hate to say this respectfully. There it is. Because you can be vaccinated and still get sick.
Absolutely.
I told the person who answered the phone, my father didn't die from COVID, but guess what? I lost my father last week, and you have to wear a mask everywhere you go.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Absolutely.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that. Hey, Charlamagne, can I make you laugh real quick before you guys get me off the radio? A young lady called you a couple years ago, and she was venting about being in a domestic relationship, and she wanted out, right?
Uh-huh.
And she was dealing with both parties. Guess who you're talking to? That person.
Wow.
With her, Charlamagne.
How you feel? You made it out?
Nah, I didn't make it out. I'm co-parenting.
Oh.
With a heavy heart.
Damn.
With a one-year-old in my house.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, I'm sending you healing energy.
Yeah, I appreciate that, my guy. Keep doing what you're doing.
You can't be telling like me. You can't keep saying my guy with a voice like that, okay? You're confusing me on this phone.
Listen, my guy, listen. this is what I do. I have to smile through all the pain, my God. This is what keeps me going.
Absolutely.
I started listening to you guys in the morning, and when I heard her voice on the radio, I was like, listen to this because you had a lot to say about that topic.
I don't even remember, but I'm sending you healing energy.
Have a good one. Wow. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, guys. Good morning. This is Niecy from Miami, Florida.
Hey, Niecy, get it off your chest.
Hey, so I couldn't get through yesterday, but I wanted to jump on that topic where you guys are asking if you ever had a friend set you up. So
yes.
I never had a friend set me up, but I set up my boyfriend. A couple of years ago, basically, we were in a relationship, of course, and I was cheating on him with someone he knew, like, on and off for a while. And long story short, I got caught. And he gave me the ultimatum that if I want things to work and for him not to leave me, that I had to invite him over to our apartment. He was going to hide somewhere, basically come out, surprise him, and beat him up. So I didn't want to do that, obviously, but I'm like, I want to sort. I'm sorry. So I invited him over. I just sat on the couch. He came out the kitchen. He's like, what's up? What's up? And another guy was just like, he didn't know what to say. He was like frozen. He was shocked. So he just started, they started going at it. And I just went through my closed door. I'm like, whatever.
So you set him up.
Basically, because I'm like, look, I'm sorry. So to this day, it's crazy. I still see that dude everywhere. Because he's actually a family friend. So every function I go to with my family, that dude is always there. He doesn't say anything to me. I say nothing to him.
Sheesh, that's right. Awkward.
Well, have
so
a
can
good...
I get a shout out?
Go ahead.
Really quickly, shout out to my boyfriend now. He has two children. Shout out to Ivan, Castillo. I love you, baby. You're going to be waking up hearing this later on, but I love you.
Wait a minute. You got a boyfriend named now?
Her new boyfriend, who she is with now.
My new boyfriend now.
Ivan.
Yes, we have two children.
Oh, I thought you said his name was now. Oh,
my goodness.
No, my new man now.
Oh.
I was
now. That's what it sounded like.
Thank you, mama.
Commas matter, pauses matter, even when you're talking.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Gordon. Good morning, man. It's the morning. How y'all doing?
Good morning, Gordon.
Get off your chest.
Okay, I got a quick question. Why is Lizzo on IG Live taking a dump?
She is?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not comfortable with that. Like,
well, get off her live.
I'm taking time for me. No. Listen. I'm on social media. I'm just scrolling, and it just pops up, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even like to FaceTime or talk on the phone when I'm in the bathroom. Why are you going to go on live in the bathroom? That's your personal time. That's your peace.
Yeah, I don't want to see nobody doing that, Lizzo or otherwise, but whatever. That's Instagram. Yeah. That's the world we live in. Everybody overshares. I don't even know you can call it oversharing anymore. I just think that's the world.
It is the world.
I don't even know you can call it oversharing. I'm
maybe she's making you feel comfortable with her. Like, we're so cool with each other, all my followers.
No,
I just sit here on the toilet while we talk.
Listen, no, Angela, I'm in the military. I already got to get comfortable as it is. I'm good.
Okay.
Mm-mm. I don't need no more comfort.
All right.
I don't need no more comfort.
Thank you, brother. Get it off your chest.
I don't need no more comfort.
800-585-1051. Now we got rumors on the way, yeah?
Yes, and some people agree with Kevin Gates and some people are upset with him. He did the $1 million worth of game podcast and we'll tell you what he said that had him trending.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up. Nah.
Well, Real Housewives of Atlanta has set their cast for season 14. Mm-hmm. So returning, Candy Burris, Kenya Moore, and Drew Sidora. And coming back, Sheree Whitfield. And now Marlo Hampton, who was a longtime friend, has gotten her peach as well. Also, track star Sonya Richards-Ross has been added as well. So that's who we're getting ready for in Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Okay.
All right, now in addition,
Akon's wife is not on it?
This is what they've announced for sure so far. So
they kind of got many wives, right?
Yeah, I thought one of them said that they were doing.
I thought it was his girlfriend and not his wife.
I'm not sure. Okay.
Not sure. Maybe she's going to be on as a friend, too.
Okay.
These are the people who are getting peaches.
Gotcha.
Remember, people sometimes start off as a friend and then end up with a peach like Marlo Hampton just did.
What's so funny about that?
I just think it's funny that they give people fruits and people really be wanting them fruits.
They want them fruits, bro.
Yeah, fruits is real validation.
All right, now Cynthia Bailey has said that she's excited for Marlo. She's been a friend to the show since she's been on the show, so it's time for her to have that opportunity. But she did advise for her to pray and stay strong, pray to God every night.
I'm ready to get that peach.
Because Cynthia left the show, and so did Portia. And Portia, they actually have a trailer for her new spinoff series. It's called Portia's Family Matters.
I am single-handedly pulled my family and friends into my personal okay? I'm his fourth wife.
I want to know why Simon's 3 previous marriages did not work.
How are you engaged to a married man?
This girl got engaged in 2 weeks.
The optics don't look great because people don't have all the facts.
This trip can be the best thing for our entire family, or it can be a complete fiasco.
Dropping the clues bombs with Big Portia. You knew Portia was getting her own spinoff show. Come on. We knew right. that. We knew that as soon as she announced
She's
that
like,
she
I am not
leaving.
Giving all this to Real Housewives.
Yeah, you knew. I knew that as soon as I heard her say she wasn't going to be on Real Housewives no more. I'm like, she's getting her own show. Especially with all the drama that was around her.
Absolutely.
All right, now Kevin Gates was on $1 Million Worth of Game with Gilly the Kid and Wallow. And one thing that he talked about was semen retention. And he says that men should not ejaculate during sex.
It's like really healing to your body. It's going to sound crazy. It's semen retention. You can have sex. Your intention should be to please your partner and don't release no semen. If you feel like you're about to release, stop. That it's going to heal your central nervous system and everything. It heal your brain.
No.
So you say you got to have a mean pullout
no,
game.
No, that's like going to the gun range and looting the gun up and going.
It's about
a pullout game.
I ain't going to say pullout game. For me, it's about knowing your body. I engage in a lot of foreplay. When I say foreplay, I mean I like to kiss everything. That's just me. I aim to please my partner. Can I make you I'm not a squirter. Let me see.
All that is true, though. I mean, semen retention is a real thing, and there's benefits to it. I don't know if it's something you're supposed to do all the time. I thought it was something people do, like, you know, a couple weeks at a time, a month at a time.
Obviously, I don't do it. I got 5 kids and 1 on the way.
Yeah, I've tried it before, but I can't do it. I don't have the discipline.
I thought that the blue—I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on the air.
What, blue?
Blue testicles.
No, it's a phrase for that. What's the term? It's a technical term. I can't remember it right now.
But and no, anyway, they call it edging, but then I thought eventually you let it go. But.
Nah, they say you get higher energy levels and better sleep and muscle growth and, like, it improves your focus and concentration. Like, that's a real thing. Like, that's not a
So you
a
won't
joke.
Be in pain? And have a stomach.
I've never done it, but it's a thing. Semen retention is an actual thing.
I sleep just fine right after. I sleep actually better.
Retain?
No, I don't retain. That's my problem. I got 5 kids. I don't retain nothing.
All right, now 3 former NFL players were sentenced for defrauding the healthcare program. And so Carell Buckhalter, who played for the Philadelphia Eagles and Denver Broncos, was given 10 months prison time, followed by as many months of house arrest. The other two ex-players, Anthony Montgomery and Dara Reed, were sentenced to 10 months house arrest. They pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit healthcare fraud. They are among 15 players who pleaded guilty in the case. So in all...
We didn't hear about that one. We heard about the NBA one, crazy. We didn't hear about the NFL.
Yes, and all the players submitted more than $3.9 million in fraudulent claims, according to prosecutors. Yeats. So 8 of them pleaded guilty in the case, and who pleaded guilty in the case have been sentenced, according to that report. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, now we got front page news. Next, what are we talking about?
Yes, and let's talk about Ahmaud Arbery and why they're having difficulty finding jurors for that trial.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Now, everybody's talking about TikTok right now, even sports fans. Now, Charlamagne, you seen this?
Why are you talking to me about football and trying to show me TikTok, sir?
Because your team is on there. Their fans are on there. The players are on there. This is where the real talk is happening. There's, like, literally everything you could think of right now on TikTok. You just got to see it.
Here we go!
Now, some new music. Wild Side.
Who that is?
Wild Side.
Who's that?
Normani and Cardi B.
Yep. Normani.
Normani and Cardi B.
That's new. I thought that'd been up.
Well, that's the first time we've been playing it up here.
Oh,
new for us. This show.
Well, come on, don't say new then.
Well, it's new music.
You confuse me. I'm old. I'm like, damn. I thought I heard this record, and so in my mind, I'd be like, I thought I heard this record, but maybe I didn't.
You know what? Then play Give You Honor again. That's the one. Morning, everybody. It's DJ
Envy. Like, I thought that record been out for a minute.
Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. In Monday Night Football, the Saints beat the Seahawks 13-10. Now, Major League Baseball World Series Game 1 is tonight. The Braves take on the Astros at 8:09 p.m. Now, what else we got, Yeezy?
Well, they are trying to find jurors for the trial of the 3 men charged in Ahmaud Arbery's killing. Those 3 men, Gregory McMichael, his son Travis McMichael, and their neighbor William Roddy Bryan Jr., they are going on trial for malice, felony, and felony murder. So they have pleaded not guilty, but they're also facing charges of aggravated assault, false imprisonment, and criminal attempt to commit false imprisonment. The problem is, a lot of people already have strong opinions, know about the case, and even personally know people involved in the case. So prospective jurors already have pretty much formed their opinion. And also some people feel like there'll be real world repercussions. One woman who was a prospective juror said that she is concerned about how polarizing the case has been among the community. She said, I think it would be naive to think that in the real world there wouldn't be repercussions from this.
I mean, it's only repercussions if you don't do the right thing. Like, we all saw the video. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you know that the brother was innocent. So it's just like the brother got killed for nothing because people want to be vigilantes for no reason just because they feel like they can police blackness. So there's only real world repercussions if you don't do the right thing. Right.
And then some people are saying that they already have their opinion formed and it would be difficult to change their mind. One potential juror said he fears there will be only one verdict that's accepted in today's climate. And if that verdict is not returned, some may threaten violence again. So
because we all saw the video.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the problem because you're not supposed to know about the case.
Impossible.
It's impossible.
That's why it's impossible. Everybody's seen it. That's why they're saying it's impossible because everybody has seen it. One person's like, I already saw the video. They murdered him.
But I'm listening to the word that's coming out the guy's mouth. The guy said there's only one verdict that would be acceptable. Yeah, because we all saw the video and we know who is clearly in the wrong in this situation.
Right, mm-hmm. And so kind of your mind is made up. This is the only
as
thing that's
should be.
But as a juror, it's not supposed to be made up before you go in.
Well,
guess
what?
That's why it's difficult.
You got to rip up them old playbooks because we live in a whole new world. And if we're still moving off that old playbook, then God bless them.
They have to select you. So when they ask you questions and you say something like, I already know, there's one answer.
But don't you think they should adjust the rules for the era that we're in?
Yeah, it's hard to not know about
it. Absolutely.
A case.
It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now New Jersey and New York have issued states of emergency ahead of the nor'easter. And so, as you guys know from driving in this morning, they said widespread totals of 2 to 5 inches. Rainfall rates were will exceed 1 inch per hour at times. But in California, they had a bomb cyclone. And so that unleashed mudslides and flooding and triggered widespread power outages. In California, power lines tumbled. More than 100,000 homes and businesses are in the dark. And another 50,000 power customers were affected across Washington state. So they are saying those bomb cyclone storms are moving east as well.
Yeah, they're saying that we're going to have some power outages on this side. And they're saying a lot of people who got flooded from Ida might get flooded again. So I know the state and government was handing out sandbags to try to help people yesterday, last night.
Yeah, so by the week's end, they said these bomb cyclones also will be coming here towards the east by the end of the week, too. Mm-hmm. So just take it seriously.
Hold on, so this is different than the nor'e? The nor'e weather?
The nor'easter.
Nor'e getting Mother Nature
more
drunk?
Coming at the end of this week, so get really? Ready for that. Mm-hmm.
Jesus
week.
Christ. Because right. it was a nor'e going on right now, right?
Nor'easter, yeah.
Nor'e got Mother Nature drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, well, that is your front page news.
All right, now, when we come back, we have three special guests joining us. We have the president of Pepsi's Southern Division, Derek Lewis, joining us. He's a Hampton alumni, so shout to him. We also have Pinky Coles, who was the owner of Slutty Vegan. Mm-hmm. And we have Derek Hayes, the owner of Big Dave Cheesesteak. So we're going to be talking to all of them when we come back about this initiative that Pepsi's doing to try to get more money to HBCU businesses. I say HBCU students, black businesses, and more. So we're going to talk to them when we come back. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got some special guests joining us today. I've been seeing a lot recently. That's right. We got the brother Derek Lewis from Pepsi. Welcome, brother.
What's up, brother?
Good seeing you. He's also he went to the real HUE, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Real HUE. University, you know, just so you know. We have Pinky Cole.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
How's it going?
I'm doing good. I feel good. I'm happy to be here.
You look happy. You look good.
I'm very happy.
All right. So again, we got Derek Hayes. What up, brother?
What's up, bro?
You ain't bring no cheesesteaks today, bro?
Hey, man. No, I got you next time. Definitely happy.
We about to
here,
just start walking with food.
That's right. Some food.
I know. You can't be coming here without my burger.
Right.
So now, Derek, what's going on? Because, I mean, what you doing
which
for
Derek?
Derek, huh?
Right, it's two. Okay, it's two Derek.
OG,
yeah.
Derek Lewis.
OG, yeah. OG. Okay, I'm the OG. I got you.
So what you've done with Pepsi is amazing. I mean, you brought Pepsi to a lot of the HBCUs, a lot of the Black events, and you're giving back to the different colleges and just our community. So how did that get started?
Well, let me start with She Got Now. You were obviously part of that back at Hampton a couple weeks ago, which is outstanding. So for the third year now, in partnership with Essence, we brought back She Got Now. Mm-hmm. Back to campus. It's a multi-tiered program, and so it's really focused on, you know, celebrating, supporting, and honoring young Black women who are in HBCUs, right? And so the main thing that we focused on, obviously, at the Activation Homecoming was around internships that we talked about. But before that, let me get started with how we got here. If you think about what's happening in corporate America, really, you know, across the board is the underrepresentation of Black women in the space, right? And so mm-hmm. before we got to all the events of 2020 and what's happened since then, we were already on this journey to go actively recruit and promote Black women inside the workplace. And so we developed that idea 3 years ago. We started that program, She Got Now. It's in the third year. We've got women that are now full-time hires inside the corporation. Mm-hmm. So it's a multi-pronged approach at really driving equality around these pillars of people, business, and community. And our special guests here also have been a big part of that. But we were excited to get that off the ground. We got a lot of applicants. We're going to have a big event down in Florida, Florida Classic, here mm-hmm. in November 20th. That'll also be a big blowout. We're going to be actively recruiting. And then obviously the website's alive. So at essence.com/shegotnow. So we're looking for thousands of students to apply. And we're going to land 12 internships for the summer. And we're going to look to gather as many of those. Hopefully all of them will come back with full-time status.
Before we get to Pinky and Derek, YG Derek, young OG. How did a brother get in such a high position in Pepsi? Because that's a position that you just never would think you would see a brother, a Black person in. Right? You would think it's the good old boys mm-hmm. that never let us in. So talk about how you got to Pepsi and how you got to that position in Pepsi, because that's something that we don't rarely see.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I'm an OG. I grew up in the Chocolate City, man. So I'm a DC boy. Grew mm-hmm. up back in really in the 70s and early 80s. I was only one of really six in my family to actually make it and get it to college and get through college. But, you know, hey, look, Hampton was a special place. It really laid a foundation for my life and experiences. There's why I'm so committed to HBCUs and experiences, because it really transformed my life. You got to think about it. Went to Hampton. I was a business major, so I wanted to major in business management. I did that successfully, graduated with a business management degree. Pledge Capital. Yo, to all my noobs out there. Got to throw some love to my noobs out there. I was voted Mr. Business Club. It's the only election I probably ever won in my life, but I was Mr. Business Club. I've got to run the business club school, which was a big dream of mine. I met my wife there, mm-hmm. right? And we've been happily married for 29 years, and right? Mm-hmm. So you think again about the foundation. And I got my job with Pepsi. And it was interesting because the first time I interviewed with Pepsi, I wasn't on my A game. I was hanging out, partying, thinking I could just show up at the interview, and I got rejected. I got a rejection letter from them. So when I got that letter, and I had other job offers, but Pepsi was where I really wanted to go, and I knew it was disappointing. It came back a second time. I absolutely made sure I was ready mm-hmm. to go for that interview. I got that interview. I got accepted, and the rest is history. And so I've been there now 33 and a half years. Wow. I've lived all over the country. I've done a tremendous amount of different roles, whether they're operating roles, selling roles, headquarter roles. I've been very impactful on the diversity agenda. I've been co-chairing advisory board, sponsor for Mosaic Group. Now I'm front and center helping lead this REJ, racial equality journey we're on. And it's been fantastic. I feel obligated to lean in. I've been given so many opportunities and breaks and blessings that I never thought I could dream so big. But
can I give you your flowers real quick, though? I'm sorry, I got to interject because I'm sitting here. So in the hallway, we talked about, like, we ain't supposed to be here, mm-hmm. right? So to see a Black man that's educated, that's not seen as a threat mm-hmm. in such a high space like that. Like, that's big mm-hmm. to be able to be on a platform like this yeah. and be able to speak to people, a mass group of people, and be able to make decisions, sound decisions for things that can happen. Like, that ain't nothing to play with.
Nothing at all.
So, like, he's being modest. Like, that's like, yeah, you know, I've done this. That's great. But, like, you're the shit.
thank you.
And it was like, putting people in position too.
Yes. And putting people in position, like, I admire that. And to even be in your atmosphere right now, like,
what's the point of walking the talk?
I just feel honored to be here.
You got
to
walk the talk. I'm true on walking the talk, keeping it real. I keep it real too. You get to know me, I keep it real. You guys know me.
Yeah.
It's been a tremendous blessing. There's still a lot of more work to go do. Mm-hmm. I feel the responsibility to carry this forward. I will carry this forward and make the impact that I know that I can make, that I know our company can make, and I know our community can make. And so, you know, count me as one of those all-in guys. We'll make sure things happen.
All right, we have more with Derek Lewis, Derek Hayes, and Pinky Cole. She's the owner of Slutty Vegan, the owner of Big Dave Cheesesteaks, and the president of Pepsi Southern Division. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Derek Lewis, which is the president of the Southern Division of Pepsi. Also, Derek Hayes, the owner of Big Dave's Cheesesteak, and also Pinky Cole, Slutty Vegan.
And delicious. Absolutely amazing. She bought me a burger for me to try. And
today?
I was like, not today.
We met at the Revolt Summit.
Yeah,
when
I was in Atlanta, the line was so long at her food truck. I wanted to go over there because I've been hearing about Slutty Vegan. And I was like, I didn't have time. But she actually had somebody come. They brought me the burger and I killed it. And
you know what I did to make sure that you got that burger? Like,
it was delicious.
When you're really hungry about your dream, the fact to be here. So let me give you some background.
There you go.
I started Slutty Vegan in 2018. Mm-hmm. And before that, I already had my dream job. I was a casting director for one of the biggest shows. I was a producer for the Maury show. Like, I was in TV.
Maury. You are the father.
You are not the father.
Emmy is definitely the father. Six times.
You are the father.
But yeah, so like, I worked in TV. So I had my dream job already. But I opened up a restaurant in Harlem back in the day, and I was selling jerk chicken. I was a vegan selling jerk chicken, right? But I knew that that wasn't in alignment with who I was. Long story short, had a grease fire, lost everything. Mm-hmm. Car got repoed, apartment got evicted out of it, literally. And I'm the person that everything that I touched turned to gold. So this time, I'm like, damn, I lost that. What am I going to do? So I got an opportunity to work on a big TV show on the OWN Network, and they moved me to Atlanta from L.A., so I'm in Atlanta, and in my head, I'm just like, damn, I want some vegan late night food. And shout out to all the vegan restaurants in Atlanta. Great food, but a lot of them closed early. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting there, and I came up with Slutty Vegan like a light bulb. The next thing I did was start researching everything. And again, I had no idea that this would be one of the hottest concepts in the country. And 3 years later, I went from being in a ghost kitchen to having two food trucks to having four locations to be about to open up 20 locations, all because of a simple idea that I came up in my bedroom with. So I'm excited what Slutty Vegan has done. Like, it's more than just burgers, pies, and fries, right? I don't just sell food no more. Like, I really inject the cultural capital into the community through an ecosystem to help other people win.
You did something with Shake Shack, too, right? You guys did a collab. Mm-hmm. And I saw that you were giving people money during the pandemic, other restaurant owners.
Absolutely. So I paid the rent for local restaurant owners. I donated fruits and vegetables to the whole community. I gave out coats. I gave out money. I helped pay the balances for 30 college students at Clark Atlanta University. Shout out to CAU. And me and Derek, together, we just launched an initiative where we're helping every single black man in Atlanta get life insurance that they don't have to pay for.
Wow. Mm.
They choose their own beneficiary. They choose their policy. We don't get nothing from it.
How does that work?
Oh, they can go to pinkygivesback.com and you can sign up.
Now, Derek is the reason, Derek Hayes is the reason why I gained some weight in the last couple of weeks. I was minding my business on Hampton campus waiting for my cheesesteak, and he said, Envy, the cheesesteak ain't ready. It's going to take about 10 minutes, but take these egg rolls. And I done had about 10 egg rolls, and now I gained about 7 pounds.
Right?
Thank you, brother. Now talk about how you got into to the business that you have.
So for one, my journey is like a roller coaster. I come from West Philly. So when I came to Atlanta, I wanted to do something. I wanted to change my life. I wanted to get out the streets. I wanted to be a culture impact.
Mm-hmm.
So I started, it was called Days Fully Water Ice. All I sold was water ice. And then I started selling cheesesteaks in 2016. I named my business after my father. He passed away from lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually watched my dad take his last breath. Mm. So for me, it was never about the money. I just wanted to be impactful.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started, you know, people started paying attention to me. And shout out to Eve, because Eve was one of the first celebrities that ever supported me.
EVE? Wow.
You know, she's from Philly, too.
She was here last week, yeah.
Yeah, so she definitely was a big part of my story, because when I started in that 749 square foot gas station, I literally thought that I was going to have lines out the door when I brought a cheesesteak to Atlanta, but I ain't have no lines. So I'm like, damn, what am I going to do? I came out with a bunch of money. I partied it all away, and this is the last thing I got is my dream.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she knew somebody that was connected, you know, and then she came through and she said, I'm not going to bite this sandwich, you know, and they not going to get it if it's not official. So she bit it, and next thing you know, she posted all her social media networks. I started having lines.
Wow.
And
every day.
Every day. But the thing is, out of all the lines, I used to pull up to my locations, and I would literally drop a tear in the car like, damn, I really did it. Somebody like me, tattoos all over my body. I'm sitting at the table now with billionaires. I'm getting respected differently because I believed in my dream and I ain't give up because I believed in the impact. Even like when the pandemic hit, I was giving out 1,000 meals to the community, no charge at all, because I know these are the people are the reason why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start feeding the hospitals every single day. So when they speak of Derek Hayes, when they speak of Big Dave Cheesesteaks, that's what I'm about. I'm about bringing up the impact in the communities. And that's why now I got 90 employees right now, two locations about to have egg rolls and everywhere.
You need
so
a button like me.
You got the egg rolls everywhere, so that's it.
One thing you said earlier that's so true also is the research, right?
Yeah.
Because you talked about how you had never done this before, but you sat down and did the research, because it's not, you manifest it, but then you also really have to put the work in.
You gotta put the work in, right? I was telling Derek, OG Derek, earlier today, like, it's one thing to do it. It's another thing to put your money where your mouth is, put your research where your, like, do the work. And when you do the work, you will see the success. The reason why you, Envy, and you, Angelique, and Charlamagne, and everybody else is at this point in life is because we were consistent about doing the work.
But the reward going to be greater later, because when you see people, you know, I know shade to nobody at party, but you got to know when to party at the right time.
Right.
Yeah. When your shit ain't together, why you out there blowing the bag?
Right.
Because
yeah,
you got, everybody in this world got vice. You literally have to put your vice to the side, like you going to rehab to be able to get your life together, to be able to get to the next level. So if you don't be able to do that, you're going to stay stagnant. You're going to be in the spinning wheel like a guinea pig. You're going to keep going on around. Yeah. If you was trying to save $100,000 and in a weekend you blowing five or six every weekend in the club, you ain't going to never get to the 100 grand.
Yeah. Right.
You see what I'm saying? So you got to have discipline on what you want. And that start with patience. Nobody in life can get to the next level without patience.
Yeah.
Once you get the patience and you get the used to the people standing, and you say, it's cool because guess what? I'm going to be there. And it's not going to feel like no 360. I'm going to stay there because I'm going to build my foundation that's going to build generational income, that's going to build residual income each month, that's going to be able to take care of all your dreams and your bills that you need to do. And now, if you got kids, they straight. I would tell any man this. You ain't a man until when you leave this world, you still taking care of your kids from the casket.
Right. That's why this insurance.
Yeah, that's why we're doing this life insurance. That's why we're doing it.
You know how many people we all know who have passed away that did not, and they could have seemed so, been successful, but then they passed away and you realize they didn't have life insurance.
Or the bag wasn't there.
Right.
Like, their finances wasn't together. I mean.
Because it's just not about life and death either. It's about financial literacy, knowing that you could pull against your policy.
Right.
Like, a lot of black people don't know that. And I'm just speaking from experience. So now we are being the change that we wish to see.
Square One campaign is the life insurance campaign that me and Pinky, we doing right now. And there's no gimmicks behind it. If you're a black man, you come in there and sign up. If you make $30,000 less than income, we're trying to sign up 25,000 black men by year 23. And we got other programs in it.
All right, we have more with Derek Lewis, Derek Hayes, and Pinky Cole. She's the owner of Slutty Vegan, the owner of Big Dave Cheesesteaks, and the president of Pepsi Southern Division. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Derek Lewis, which is the president of the Southern Division of Pepsi. Also, Derek Hayes, the owner of Big Dave's Cheesesteak, and also Pinky Cole. Now, Derek, OG Derek, what's next for Pepsi? Because I know Pepsi does so much. The She Got Now campaign, all the stuff they do for the HBCUs, all the scholarships that they do. What's next for Pepsi that people could say, hey, I need to get in on this and maybe help myself?
Well, look, I mean, it's constantly moving, right? The bar is constantly moving for us, right? If you think about this REJ, Racial Equality Journal we're on, the key pillars are people, business, and community. And I think, you know, the people, it goes without saying, we're trying to drive representation and we're trying to certainly affect and impact culture that's inside our company and outside our company. If you get to this business pillar, you really are focused on how do you drive support for black-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses in total, but black-owned businesses. In this case, this digging platform, I think, is very special because it's really created that, the impact of driving economic impact for the black consumers and certainly the black restaurant owners that are out there. I think it's great for us to do that. And then you go to this community pillar, and it's all about Pepsi Stronger Together. Look, we've leaned in so many different ways where StarDial's response to COVID now has evolved to many, many different ways. There's educational platforms, sustainability platforms, different cause-related platforms, domestic abuse, de-escalation training with law enforcement. I mean, we are tailoring the needs to those communities.
Was it difficult for Pepsi to get involved? Because, you know, when you go to a lot of these other schools, not HBCUs, these big colleges, you see all these big brand names, whether it's car manufacturers or soda companies or liquor companies or whatever it may be. They always sponsor the big schools, whether it's the Duke, it's the UCLA.
True.
You don't really see that at HBCU. And me going to HBCU, I'd never seen that until now. Like, there was never no big sponsors at the school, you know. So was it difficult to get Pepsi aboard for that?
No. I mean, look, again, we've been doing that work before. I've been a champion of HBCUs for years. I've gone there, right? And so what happened, I think, as a result of 2020, is we've been able to amplify it. We've just leaned in more than what we had before. I mean, we just announced our partnership with the SWAC. That was a new relationship we built. So that gave us a lot of access now in really the southernmost part of our region, the United States, where we didn't necessarily have that much access. But now we're heavily involved with the SWAC. We work with Coach Prime. Coach Prime and I are really good friends. We've done a tremendous amount of activations with him. And
that's Deion Sanders.
Team. Yeah, Deion Sanders. Coach Prime. Coach Prime. That's my man. That's my guy. But things like that. So those are all the things that are next level. The partnerships, the collaborations, Shaquille O'Neal Foundation. He's been big for us in the Pepsi Stronger Together space. He's done tremendous work with us. We've leaned in with him at a number of different causes just in the last year and change. And so we want to keep going.
This is a perfect example how big businesses should really like infuse their resources and support into small businesses. Mm-hmm. Because what's happening is your support and your dollars to help these growing small owned, women owned, black owned businesses will help them to be better. Right. And when they become better, it creates a bigger ecosystem. Right. So now in black owned companies, they could get paid better. Mm-hmm. Right. Better benefits, scaling companies, more businesses that sustain, more black people can get approved for more loans. Like there is such a ripple effect when big corporations help those smaller businesses come up. And the fact that y'all are doing it, I really want other big businesses to follow suit.
And what I really like is it's writing the check, but also having the ground game. I feel I take a lot of pride. We have the ground game. We have a very strong ground game.
It's you, though, because even at the assembly, like when I first met you, we sitting there listening to Derek, and I'm like, hold up. Yeah, president of Pepsi? Black man?
No, but he's there.
I'm not
there.
I'm not.
Yes. He's swag surfing.
No, but like, I'm not.
Okay.
No, but like,
with
literally, like,
video. Video.
Yeah, like when I first met him.
Yeah, I like the bucket hat. You got a bucket hat, right?
I had to literally, like, I had to take this in, and I'm sitting there at the assembly. We had this business assembly, and he talking. I had to raise my hand. I'm like, hey, listen, we the two biggest businesses right now in Atlanta. Right now, why we ain't got no Pepsi deal? And when I tell you,
he
this brother,
his word.
He put his money where his mouth is. What, it was a week later?
Yeah, right in Atlanta.
Yeah,
in stores.
It was like...
Eating
was
egg
like,
rolls, man. Yeah, egg rolls. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, egg rolls.
It's like, you know, he
I had
really,
a one-night stand, I think. I had a one-night stand, and I had the Philly cheesesteak egg roll, man.
But he came to see us because it was just like, you know, you can deliver a message to somebody, and it go one ear out the other. You know, they say, I got you. But when I mean,
that's
this brother really
doing
stood
the work.
Beside us every step of the way, like I just did Hampton. And we're about to do the Florida Classic.
Mm-hmm.
And we're about to be a part of a fund of $100 million to keep that going. And we are actually a part of the program and not just one initiative. And Pepsi, I drunk up drinking Pepsi. So it's a real, you know, plus for me coming from Philly.
And I want to take time to promote this Dig In platform because it's really big. Mm-hmm. We're trying to drive $100 million of sales revenues through black-owned restaurants nationally, right? So Pepsi created this Dig In platform for black-owned restaurants. November 6th is Dig In Day.
Mm-hmm.
So we're encouraging everybody across America, go out and support a black-owned restaurant that
day.
Yeah. You can upload your receipts on diginpassport.com. It can track your dollars along the way to show your contribution towards $100 million we hope to get over a number of years.
And it's so many, y'all. It's so many black-owned restaurants and businesses. Like,
there are many of them.
Shout out to
support
all of
black colleges.
Absolutely.
There's so many. So even though we here and we're coming as restaurants, like, we come as one, but we stand as 10,000.
Right.
You know how many local businesses feel like they made it because two restaurant owners made it to the Breakfast Club?
Yeah.
You know what
I'm
saying? Like, Spiritual Word and all of these other businesses feel like they got a step closer because we got here. Like, this ain't just an interview.
Right. And to inspire young kids who might have never even thought they could do it.
Yeah.
And then they see you and they're like, that's something I could.
But do it in this way. Like, we are not your average CEOs, right? Like, podcast. We raw on the tongue. Like, we regular. Like, we from round the way. What's up? But we get the business.
And y'all
like,
some badasses, though.
Yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Much respect, much love.
We're going to do a taste test to see if you really know the difference. No, I'm just joking. We appreciate you guys for joining us, and thank you so much. Keep inspiring, man. We really do appreciate you
Big
guys.
Big Day, November 6th, man. Let's show all support for the black-owned restaurants out there, man. Thanks for what you all do at Breakfast Club. We appreciate y'all.
Thank you, Cole, Derek Hayes, Derek Lewis. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we the real HU, by the way, just so you know.
All right.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Dave Chappelle.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on the Breakfast Club.
Well, Dave Chappelle posted about 5 minutes of him at a recent stand-up where he's addressing a lot of the controversy that's been happening, as well as other tour dates of Dave Chappelle and Friends and screenings of his untitled documentary. So some of the things that he talked about and addressed was Netflix and wanting to make sure that it's a safe environment for everyone.
It's been said in the press that I was invited to speak to the transgender employees at Netflix, and I refused. That is not true. If they had invited me, I would have accepted it, although I am confused about what we are speaking about. I said what I said, and boy, I heard what you said. My God, how could I not? You said you want a safe working environment at Netflix. Well, it seems like I'm the only one that can't go to the office anymore.
Okay, how ironic is that? Here's what else he had to say about what he can and cannot say.
Even though the media frames this, that it's me versus that community, that is not what it is. Do not blame the LGBTQ community for any of this shit. This has nothing to do with them. It's about corporate interests and what I can say and what I cannot say. For the record, everyone I know from that community has been nothing but loving and supporting. So I don't know what all this nonsense is about.
In addition, he talked about his untitled documentary that was all about the comedians coming out to Yellow Springs during the pandemic, having the opportunity to perform in a bubble. But now it seems like people won't touch that documentary.
I made a whole documentary about it. The first night of those shows was a piece that some of you might have seen. It was called 846, and it dealt with the death, the murder of George Floyd. This film that I made was invited to every film festival in the United States, and some of those invitations I accepted. And when this controversy came out about the closer, they began disinviting me from these film festivals. And now, today, not a film company, not a movie studio, not a film festival, nobody will touch this film.
That's interesting, because Dave did the Tribeca
Film Festival. Mm-hmm.
And I thought the doc already sold to Netflix. Yeah, I thought they announced that the doc sold to Netflix.
But it hasn't sold yet, but the closer came out after that, so.
I could have swore they announced that doc was coming out on Netflix.
Mm-mm. No.
You sure?
Not that I know of. For as far as I know, they were still screening it places.
I think that doc's coming out. I could be wrong, because I even thought he said that in that five-minute thing. He said, shout out to Ted Sarandos, because he's putting it on, but I thought they'd been sold to Netflix.
I think he was shouting him out for still keeping his special on the closer. Mm.
Well, either way, that video yesterday was a great promo for that 10 arena tour to show the film that he announced.
Well, he does have a list of demands, though, for the meeting with the, with people that want to meet with him from the trans community.
To the transgender community, I am more than willing to give you an audience, but you will not summon me. I am not bending to anybody's demands. And if you want to meet with me, I'd be more than willing to, but I have some conditions. First of all, you cannot come if you have not watched my special from beginning to end. You must come to a place of my choosing and a time of my choosing. And thirdly, you must admit that Hannah Gatsby is not funny.
I have no idea who Hannah Gatsby is.
Yeah, who's Hannah Gatsby?
She's a comedian.
No.
She's from Australia, and I think she had some things to say about him. So that was his jab, I guess, back at her.
Mm.
So...
It was that block party that Netflix was going to start streaming in November. That
old doc. They were still streaming it. So I mean, I'm trying to sell it and doing these screenings for it. Okay, now Meek Mill was on Twitter, and this went crazy yesterday. He said, I haven't got paid for music, and I don't know how much money labels make off me. I need lawyers ASAP. And he said, ask the record label, how much have you spent on me as an artist? And you ask, how much you have you made off me as an artist? I'm about to make my record deal public by Monday just to let the world see what these people on. I'm a war for everything that's mine, all ruthless vibes. Then Keisha Cole saw this and responded, never received a check from any record label, period, but I just thought about that the other day. It's nothing wrong with obtaining audit attorneys so that you're aware of where every dollar went. Trust me, a lot gets lost in the sauce.
That's a fact.
And Tyrese also chimed in, most of us who were signed 20 years ago, we should all demand our masters be reverted back to us. Yeah, I said it, by December 2022, I will own 5 of my masters from releases over the years. Speak up on it or they will keep collecting off your body of work.
I mean, yeah, Keisha is absolutely right about audits, but that's for any business. Like, yeah. Right, you know, you get your audit attorneys to, you know, keep track of every dollar. Nothing wrong with that. But correct me if I'm wrong, don't artists get, like, advances?
Yeah, you get an advance, and then you owe the label to pay back that advance. So basically, it's like a loan.
Depends on what you sell and what you stream now.
So if you get, just say a $3 million advance, and you don't recoup that money,
then you get nothing.
And you don't never get another check.
Right, no. You don't.
And then your next album is still based off of what you owe for the first album. And then if you don't sell more units on the second album, then your third album is based off what you owe on the first and second album.
It's the same thing when you sign a publishing deal. They give you an advance, and then you have to pay that money back.
That's why most artists want to get the biggest advance possible, because they know they're not going to probably see no money on the back.
Yeah, they go both ways. Some artists want the biggest advance, and some artists don't want an advance at all, because they, you know, they spend their own money. That way they will make money.
Get a big back end.
Yeah, but I think you'd rather get more up front, because nothing is guaranteed. You don't get an advance, and then if you get dropped or something changes, then you...
It depends what type of artist you are.
The only reason I would probably want more up front from a record label is because record labels are shady, and you're going to have to get audit attorneys regardless to make sure that, you know, you're getting on the back end what you should get. So, yeah, from a record label, I probably would want more up front.
All right, well, that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Shalabay!
Yes, ma'am.
Who are giving that donkey to?
Why do you say it like that?
I want to have a conversation about, you know, this whole Insecure noise. This stuff with Insecure and Tiffany Dubois and, you know, Issa. I'm not even saying the real names, because we're talking about characters here.
Sororities and fraternities.
So I'm not even going to mention my good sister.
Amanda Seals.
Shut up. Yes, exactly. I am going to mention my good sister, of course. You know I love Amanda Seals. But, you know, we're going to have a conversation. Let's talk.
We got time today? I think we should open up the phone lines and have this discussion after.
I'm with it.
Okay. I found this funny, but we'll get to it next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Now, everybody's talking about TikTok right now, even sports fans. Now, Charlamagne, you seen this?
Why are you talking to me about football and trying to show me TikTok, sir?
Because your team is on there. Their fans are on there. The players are on there. This is where the real talk is happening. There's like literally everything you could think of right now on TikTok. You just got to see it.
Don't be out here acting like a donkey.
Hee-haw, bitch. Hee-haw.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
I'm a big boy. I can take it. If he feel I deserve it, ain't no big deal.
I know Charlamagne the guy gonna have some funny shit say out his mouth.
Just because I say something you may not agree with doesn't mean I'm mean.
Who's getting that donkey?
That donkey. That donkey.
Donkey of the day right there.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
You can call me the Donkey of the Day, but, like, I mean no harm.
Donkey of the Day for Tuesday, October 26th. I mean, it has to go to all you individuals who really don't know the difference between real life and entertainment. I'm not even confused about this. It doesn't bother me in the least bit. I'm just using it as yet another teachable moment to let you all know social media is probably the devil. It brings out the worst in all of us, okay? I did a whole episode about it on my talk show, The God's Honest Truth. The name of the episode is Digital Devil. Every Friday night, 10 p.m., Comedy Central. And you can stream all episodes on Paramount+. This noise around Insecure is just that noise. It ain't about nothing. It's simply what Tristan Harris was talking about on my show. Listen.
It preys on the worst of human nature and vulnerabilities. In fact, the founder of LinkedIn said that every successful social media app preys on one or more of the seven deadly sins. So if the devil is the seven deadly sins, you know, greed, lust, you know, wrath, anger, these are the things that are the powering social media success. Because, you know, how much have you paid for Facebook or Instagram, like, recently?
Nothing.
So then how do they make, you know, billions of dollars? Because we're the product, not the customer. It pumps up our wrath, our anger, our jealousy, our voyeurism, our comparison, because those are the things that work at getting human attention.
That's right. Social media feeds off negativity. All of the seven deadly sins. It feeds off disruption. Drama is an algorithm. And this story is just more of that. See, on Insecure this past Sunday, my good sister Amanda Seales dropping the clues bombs for Amanda Seales. She plays a character. We know the character, Tiffany Dubois. We've been watching her for the last five seasons, okay? Tiffany Dubois is an AKA. On Sunday's show, she was wearing AKA colors, the legendary pink and green, a combination of colors that you would never think go together, but the AKAs make it look fly. Well, I don't know, you know, what sets some of the Soros off. Did I say that right? Is it Soros or Soros?
Soros? It stands both ways.
Okay.
Soros.
I don't know what set some of the Soros off, but they started getting online complaining that Amanda Seales was disrespecting their organization and demanding an explanation or apology. There is nothing I can say in this Donkey of the Day that wouldn't be doing anything but stating the obvious. But can we please go listen to what my good cancer brethren Amanda Seales had to say? Play the part where she's talking about, she don't know why y'all upset over her being a Sora or portraying a Sora.
Y'all may have Googled it.
No, the other one, Ray.
I don't know why people keep asking me if I'm a soror. I am not a soror. Tiffany is a soror. Tiffany is a character on a TV show. I didn't write the character. I play the character. I'm an actress, and I'm playing a character on a TV show.
Is it Sarah, soror, or Sarah?
Soror.
Soror?
S-O-R-O-R.
You spell it for him a million times. He can't pronounce it. Yay!
I'm sure they'll correct us. All I wanted Amanda Seales to say at the end of that was, social media, why are you acting weird with me? I really don't think you all understand the impact of social media on your brain. Social media has removed all separation of state in regards to what's true and what's false, to what's right and what's wrong, to what's real and what's fake. In regards to what's true and what's false, listen to Amanda reference this website called Answers to All. Listen.
Y'all may have Googled it, and then this site, answerstoall.com, answers to some, because you got these answers wrong this time, saying that ain't true. I am not a member of the Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. My school, SUNY Purchase, didn't even have a chapter. And by the time I went to grad school, I was too involved in the me, fi, me of it all. But also, they do say here that I won a Pulitzer. So, I mean, who knows? That was a nice mistake. I mean, and I would be honored to be a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha, but I simply am not. When I am Tiffany, I do wear the letters with pride and regard and respect for those who did cross the burning sands.
The website Answers to All said Amanda Seales was an AKA, and they say, see, she won a Pulitzer Prize. Neither one of those things are true. Okay, so when you say Answers to All, Answers to All what? Answers to All your confirmation bias. Listen to me. Whatever you think about a person, whatever you think about a subject, you can Google it and something will pop up that reinforces what you believe, period. Okay? That's just the way this thing works, all right? But I just need y'all to understand. Acting is acting. Real life is real life. I was talking to folks yesterday and they kept comparing real life situations to Tiffany Dubois' character on Insecure. It was like, remember when Boosie disrespected Kappas and wore a shirt belonging to the members of Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity? Yeah, but the difference is Boosie did that in real life. Tiffany Dubois was a character acting. AKAs and all these Greek organizations are corporations. Last time I checked, I always thought that in order for shows to use, their paraphernalia, they had to get it licensed. That's what I always thought. I thought they had to get it licensed or get some
cleared,
type of
right?
get written approval, some type of clearance from said organization. So Soros shouldn't be mad at Amanda Seales or Tiffany Dubois. Take that up with whoever runs your organization. Seriously, fraternities and sororities, if you don't want your colors, your shields worn, fictional or otherwise, let it be known then. All right, raise holy hell with the people from your organization who are licensing this stuff, you know, to be worn, because clearly they had to give Insecure or any other show or film clearance to use it. Also, if you're going to be mad, okay, if you're going to have this anger, this wrath, okay, over, Amanda Seales or Tiffany Dubois, they should probably get zero smoke, because she's not a producer on this show. She's not a writer. She's playing a character, and that character was written by said writer or producer. But let me tell you something. If we've gotten to the point where people are being outraged over what characters on TV shows and films are wearing and are doing, we are in a really bad place in our society. And art and critical thinking skills, as we know it, are dead. Dead! I really pray that y'all start to disconnect from social media more so you can connect with reality. Not virtual reality, the real world. We are losing ourselves, and some of y'all have never found yourselves because your whole life has been this. and I'm holding up a smartphone as I say it. All right, we are past the point of the boy who cried wolf. Okay, we are past the point. We are past that point. All right, you know what? Apologies. Let me be politically correct. The they who cried wolf. All right, we are past the point. We are past the point. We know what that story is, right? Y'all know the story of the boy who cried wolf, right? When the young boy kept, you know, telling people that a wolf was coming, but he was lying. So when a wolf actually does appear, the villagers don't believe the boy's cries for help and the flock is destroyed. The moral of the story is that liars will not be rewarded even if they tell the truth. No one believes them. That's where we're going, okay? That's where we're going in regard to the social media and social media outrage. If everything causes outrage, then nothing truly matters. Every single day you folks are mad about nothing. So if you are constantly mad about nothing, then when something really pops up, why should we take any of your outrage serious? Just asking. Just asking. Please give all these individuals who are upset over Tiffany Dubois, okay, being an AKA on Insecure, the biggest hee-haw. And by the way, if she had the character represented AKAs in a bad way, I totally understand y'all outrage. I didn't see that. Did you see that?
Mm-mm. Nope.
I didn't see that. Mm-mm. But hey, I'm not a Greek.
They even shot at an AKA's house.
What?
Yeah, they shot that scene at an AKA's house.
One AKA? All? What you mean?
I guess it was...
Oh, you mean like the houses that they have on campus?
The house that they shot was an AKA's house.
They definitely had to have clearance and all that good stuff like that.
Were people mad at Lambda Epsilon Omega?
What that is?
Some old school.
What's old? Oh, you mean like a movie?
Yeah, the movie Old School.
Oh, I don't know nothing about Greeks, man.
With the Godfather.
Which fraternity is that? That's not one of the Divine Nine, though, right?
No. Or Lambda, 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 and Revenge of the Nerds?
I don't know nothing about Greeks. No. I'm 97% West African, okay?
Yo, shut
up. My people taught the Greeks, all right?
All right, well, let's open up
the phone lines. They called us Guma Oz the Ba.
Let's open
up the
phone lines.
Which means wisdom, scripture, beauty.
800-585-1051. For any of the fraternities out there, sororities, any members, call us up. Let us know what you think, right? 800-585-1051. Let's have a discussion, all right? If you are in a fraternity or in a sorority, what do you think, right? Let's
talk. I just want to know. I mean, if like I said, if y'all don't want, you know, your letters and your paraphernalia to be worn, fictional or otherwise, just let it be known and take it up with those organizations. But I would like to talk to some Greeks this morning.
All right, let's do it when we come back. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Now, if you just join us, Charlamagne gave Donkey the day to who, Charlamagne?
All the individuals who really don't know the difference between real life and entertainment. That's it. It's really just that simple. You know what I mean? Because people are upset at Insecure and Amanda Seals and Issa Rae and Tiffany Dubois and whoever else on Insecure, because the character Tiffany Dubois is an AKA, and on Sunday's show, I guess she was wearing AKA colors and they showed the AKA shield. My whole take on it is, like, if we know that they have to get clearance from the AKA organization, if people in these fraternities and these sororities are upset, shouldn't they take it up with the heads of their organization? Shouldn't they have a conversation with them and say, look, we don't want our stuff used, period, fictional or otherwise. We don't want nobody wearing our colors. We don't want nobody wearing our letters. We don't want nobody holding up our shield if they are not part of the organization. But shouldn't they be taking that up with the heads of said organization who give this clearance?
Now, let me ask you something else. Do you feel that, like, people just don't like Amanda Seals? And then you feel like if it was another actress, they wouldn't have went so hard?
Probably, but I'm biased with my good sister.
I saw Issa Rae weighing in on it and everything too.
Yeah, they went at Issa too.
And I saw a lot of people actually defending Amanda. Yeah,
I saw that too, which I thought Absolutely. That was hilarious. It was people saying, I don't like Amanda Seals, but those are the kind of critical thinkers I like. I like people that deal with nuance like that.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How old are you, first of all?
I am 31 years old.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, I am a member of Gamma Theta Omega. That chapter's in South Florida. Shout out to all my sorors. So, to answer the question, first and foremost, I love Insecure. I love all of the actors and actresses in Insecure. But I can kind of see why some members of my organization feel some type of way. I do understand it's acting, but normally in movies with Greeks, you normally see them alter the Greek. So, they won't actually use the exact Greek letters. Like in Drumline, they use similar colors, so you was able to determine, like, okay, he's probably a Kappa, mm-hmm. he's probably a Q, but you didn't see the Omega patch on the okay. uniforms. You didn't gotcha. See Alpha Kappa Alpha patch on the girls' uniforms. You seen similar colors, but different Greek letters that they made up organization. So the fact that she actually has the patch, it could have been, you know, like you said, Alpha Cap Alpha could have gave her the right to use it, which I'm sure they probably did. But I know one thing that I was kind of upset about is her using the word soror. She's not a soror. That's a word we use amongst each other.
What's the word?
Soror.
That's the word. But she's saying to use is a term of that's what they use in their own
sorority. I've said soror. How do I refer to y'all then?
You don't refer to us as sorors. You refer to us as members of Alpha Kappa Alpha.
Anybody got time for all that? That's so long.
We done said that word 1,000 exactly. times this morning. Are we in trouble?
So I can't say sorority?
You can say sorority. You can say sorority.
No, you can say sorority. It's just the word. So, like, if Angela Yee was to say to me, oh, hey, soror.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that.
Right. So that's the terminology we use amongst each other. So the fact that you guys are saying on the radio, hey, it's not a big deal. But some people really take it to heart because, you know, they die hard, but they die for their own.
Got you.
So you're saying it was the shield that was really the issue, not necessarily the colors. They could have represented it without actually having that.
But shouldn't y'all take this up with the organization? Shouldn't y'all take this up with the people who are giving clearance?
Absolutely.
Liz, absolutely. But it's just to clear the air because people say, no, it's petty. Yeah, it's petty because you're not a part of that organization. But if you worked hard and fought for your letters, it's not more so petty to you. You know, Alpha Kappa Alpha opened up doors every day. Look at the vice president.
Right.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't tell you what to be mad at. Can't tell you what to be offended by, but it is petty to me, so you're right. I'm not a member of the organization.
My doc is in a sorority. She said it's the dumbest argument. She said it has to be cleared by the AKA. She says we have to clear even the small indie productions of shows if they ever use us or use our colors or our badges. It said it has to be cleared.
Sarah, whatever will be, will be.
Soror.
Soror.
That's K-Sarah.
What is it?
It's K-Sarah.
Salute to K-Slay. What'd you say?
Shout out to K-Slay. What's up, bro?
He's trying to say whatever will be, will be.
What is that? What is the saying?
What are you
K-Sarah,
saying?
K-Sarah.
Oh, so they ain't got nothing to do with Soror?
K-Sarah. Whatever will be, will be.
South Carolina State University, baby. Honorary doctorate. All right.
800.
Somebody called me one time about being an honorary fraternity.
What? Oh, they reached out to me as well. 800-584. What fraternity? I'm just curious.
I ain't even saying.
What fraternity?
Nope.
What fraternity?
I'm not saying.
You look like an alpha.
I don't even know what that is. So I don't know whether to be offended. I have no idea.
You know. Anyway, 800-585-1051. We're talking fraternities and sororities. Were you guys offended by, I don't want to call Amanda, but I guess Amanda Seale's character in Insecure.
Tiffany.
Call us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Call me.
Add your opinion to The Breakfast Club topic.
Come on.
800-585-1051.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, we're talking about Amanda Seales, her character in Insecure.
No, we're talking about Tiffany Dubois.
Yeah, Tiffany.
That's the character, Seales' character in Insecure.
The character from Insecure.
Correct. She wore AKA colors.
Because her character is an AKA.
And she did the sound. Don't yes. you do it.
What sound?
Just be quiet.
I ain't playing with them people.
Yeah. All right.
Salute all AKAs.
So we're asking, what is your feelings on it? Hello, who's this?
Hi, it's Leandra.
Hey, good morning. What are your thoughts?
So I am a proud member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
Okay.
And me and my law sister were just talking about it. And honestly, I wasn't mad at it. You know, I thought that it was an honor for them to try to, you know, showcase us in a positive light. I mean, they could have really dealt with us. You know?
They could have did y'all dirty. I mean, what if they'd have had y'all on a show and they was playing into all them BS stereotypes and all of that stupid stuff?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You know what I mean?
If it was a big deal, I feel like corporate would have definitely reached out. They did not play that. We are a business.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. I could understand if, you know, y'all were portrayed in a negative light. I could see the uproar, but, you know, I didn't get it.
Hello, who's this?
Hello, good morning. My name is Tanisha.
Hey, good morning.
Tanisha, what sorority are you?
I am an AKA. I am part of the first African-American sisterhood in America, and I am not bothered by Amanda Seales portraying an AKA as a character on Insecure. But what I think is going on is that I'm not sure, and I'm sure our esteemed Supreme Black Basilisk will address it sometime. I just checked the internet and she hasn't addressed it yet. But my question is, did they get permission for the character to be portrayed on the show? That is what this all comes down to. I don't think anybody should be personally attacking Amanda Seales.
Right.
The license has to be, you have to get permission to use the license. And I haven't seen the show. I didn't see anything. I'm just responding to Twitter and listening to you this morning. But, we don't know if that was allowed yet. So if they didn't get permission from the sorority to use the shield, then they are in violation.
True, okay. Indeed. Well, but from what I was told, it was in a sorority house that they actually got permission to use, right?
Yes,
she just said it was an AKA's house.
I don't know who the AKA is that allowed that to be shot in her home. Even she would have to get permission to give permission. She that AKA can't give permission to use the license. That would have had to have come down from corporate.
You have to get a pass. You got to check in.
If corporate had allowed that, then I'm sure corporate would have told us that in advance to it being used in the show.
I can't believe HBO didn't get the preference.
I'm almost positive that they got clean.
I mean, HBO, I'm sure.
I feel so too, Charlamagne. I do feel they got permission before actually going ahead and doing that. And they probably got permission in season one. And from what I just read, that this is the final season of the show. So where's all this backlash coming from so late in the game?
I think they just noticed, to be honest with you. Because I remember they even had, I think it was last year, it said Future AKA on a hat, on Tiffany's baby's hat, I think.
Oh, okay, right.
Well, see, Future, a.k.a., is different from just totally wearing the shield.
Got you.
All right.
Well, so, and other thing I wanted to say before you let me go is that maybe more a.k.a. should become actresses so that there is a pool, and not just a.k.a.s, but Divine Nine. They need to become actresses and actors so that they have a pool of people to actually portray it so we don't have this problem anymore.
Right.
But if there's no a.k.a.s and Divine Nine are actors and actresses, then what are they going to do? We don't want to be seen on television.
Right.
I think it's good advertising, to be honest.
I think so, too. All right. Well, you want to do your
lot
call
of
for
them,
your
no.
sisters out there, mama?
No, it's...
Say that again. I don't want to say anything, but have a nice day. Like listening to you. Love you.
Thank you. Love you, too. I could be wrong, but I always thought there was a lot of AKAs on TV. If I'm not... Isn't Felicia Rashad an AKA?
I don't know.
I thought she was.
Don't cross those sororities.
I could be wrong. I thought she was.
I don't know. But what's the moral of the story?
I think the moral of the story is I just want us to understand the difference between real life and entertainment. Because I'm telling you, my biggest fear with social media is that we're all becoming the theys who cried wolf. You know what I mean? And if everything causes outrage, then nothing is truly outrageous. Like, if you're constantly mad about nothing, then when something really pops up, why should we take any of y'all serious? That's all. Because every single day, folks are really mad about nothing. Like, enraged
right.
about
yeah.
nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
This too shall pass.
Exactly. By the day. By the day. Literally. Today. Give it to 10, 11 o'clock. It'll be something else.
All right. Well, we got rumors on the way.
Yes, and we are going to be talking about a former NBA ball boy who was staring at players' junk.
All right. What was his name? Leonard? No, we'll find out when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Let's get to our good friend Natina, too.
Leave her alone.
Up here looking like a clock sister.
Leave her alone.
Looking like she just stepped out of Cooley High.
Oh, boy. Well, let's get to the rumors, all right? Don't stare at my junk.
What?
It's time. She's spilling the tea.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, a TikTok troll who was talking about his time as an NBA ball boy says that Richard Jefferson was the biggest jerk he'd met.
Biggest jerk I met when I was an NBA ball boy was a guy who was always condescending. That guy, Richard Jefferson.
All right. Well, Richard Jefferson actually responded, and it was a very unusual turn of events because he did remember this former ball boy.
What he is saying is true. I never interacted with him. But let's explain why. Is this you?
And the biggest tip I saw was Richard Jefferson's dick tip, which touched his kneecap.
Literally admit what? To looking at our junks when we were in the locker room. I remember you. And I saw this video a while ago, and I never talked about it. I just kind of let it go. And then I saw the original video where I was like, oh, that's the kid that used to stare at all of our junks. While it might be true, the point is, that is why I didn't interact with you.
Wow.
Well, I mean, he is the ball boy.
Yeah, he's supposed to get basketball.
Yeah,
not testicles.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Look at you ready to apply for a job.
Yeah, look at him. He's ready.
Look at you ready to apply for a job.
Are the Knicks hiring?
Yeah, this really
guy's crazy. You know I don't have a team, right? You know I'm a Gamecock.
Oh, my God. I am. Drop on a clues bond for the Gamecock, damn it. My wife's alumni. You hear me?
You'll fit right in.
Well, all I know is, though, Richard Jefferson... was very nice for not calling him out previously, but imagine that. He's working for you, and then you're in the locker room chain. That's uncomfortable. Somebody staring at your stuff.
That's sexual harassment?
Yeah, I don't know. Absolutely.
Something. You can't do that. Also, too, Richard Jefferson is hilarious on Instagram. Like, if you just follow him, he'd just be in the comments trolling people.
Right.
He'd just be saying mad, sarcastic stuff. I don't follow him, but I just always
see
him.
I bet you do now. I bet you do now.
I just always see him in people's comments.
This guy is crazy.
Especially in the ball players.
It's getting weird.
I don't follow him.
All right, now, 21 Savage is telling the Freaknik Festival to sit down because they're threatening to sue over his birthday party. So from the Freaknik Festival page, they said, saw 21 Savage and Mega Meezy last night at Underground Atlanta, the Freaknik. It looked like a super dope event. Sucks we're going to have to sue them when all we asked was that they acknowledged us since it was a free event and they declined. They said spending over $1 million to revive a brand, fighting negative public perception and proving we can do it 2 years with no issues comes at a cost. We can't let others just infringe on that. So know when you hear them talk about we tried to work it out very easily beforehand. And he responded, y'all better sit down somewhere. And they said celebrities think they're above the law, but celebrities be quick to sue people who use their name or their face without their permission. So,
but I wanted to shout them out how. I thought the whole Freaknik was shouting them out. Did they want a particular shout out?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Mm. Maybe, I don't know what type of shout out. I can't tell you what they reached out and asked for. Yeah,
they own the name.
But they, yeah, they own the name, and they said they just wanted to be acknowledged at no cost.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they wanted like an ad or their logo or something like that on it.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not sure why they couldn't have worked that out prior to. All right, now let's talk about Kanye's album, Donda. It has reached 1 billion streams on Spotify, and that is his fastest album to ever reach 1 billion streams. So congratulations to him.
I'm dropping the clues balls for Kanye West. He won.
All right. And a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan was an overnight sensation. He actually got Tom Brady's 600th touchdown ball on Sunday.
Now, how did he get that? Did the guy that catch it, he threw it in the stands? Oh, that's what he did. He threw it in the stands. Okay, go ahead.
Right. And, you know, even Tom Brady feels like this man should have held on to it, Byron Kennedy, a little bit longer.
Did you get the ball back?
We got it back. Byron realized he lost all of his leverage once he gave the ball away. He should have held it and then just had as much leverage as
amateur
possible.
Amateur move. Yeah, so, if he would have held it, he would have been sitting in the Tom Brady suite for the rest of the season. But amateur move on his part.
Hey, I think it worked out pretty well. It just showed kind of what he got right there from it. But I'm also giving him a Bitcoin, which, I mean, that's pretty cool, too.
He got a lot, though. He got, what, season tickets? He got a couple of jerseys signed, a helmet signed.
Oh, he got that for giving him back the ball?
Give him back the ball, yeah. He's a fan. He wanted to give him back the ball. That's cool.
Yeah, he got a Bitcoin, which is about $63,000.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but the ball too, right? They said was estimated to be worth at least $500,000.
Oh,
he's a kid, Dora.
I don't know how old he is, but yeah. All right, well, that is your rumor report.
Now you say $500,000. I don't know if I'd get that ball back. Nah.
Listen, I want to say a happy born day to my good sister, Angela Rye. Dropping the clues bombs for Angela Rye.
Mm-hmm.
Today is her born day.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Angela. Love you deep, fool.
All right. Well, let's get to the mix. Shout out to Revolt. We'll see you tomorrow. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Novartis created the More Than Just Words initiative to raise awareness about racial disparities in breast cancer care. To learn more about what More Than Just Words hopes to accomplish and hear a talk with Grammy-nominated R&B artist Jasmine Sullivan, visit morethanjustwords.us.
We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. I'm going to throw it in the atmosphere. I'm going to put it out there. We got Mayor Eric Adams on the line. What's up, brother?
Hey, good to see you, MD, and my girl, Angela, Angie, and Charlamagne, just all of you. It's good seeing you. I'm happy to be on the show again.
Right, and you know, we have already started early voting on Saturday, and so the deadline is November 2nd. So are you encouraging people now to make sure they get out and vote?
Yes, I am. And, you know, your show played a significant role as you entertain people daily. You also have some very serious conversations. And, you know, during the primary, folks used to walk up on me and say, listen, I heard you on Angie Yee's show. And so don't think you're not reaching the masses.
You know, in particular, we have a connection because you are our Brooklyn Borough president. So I'm very excited for you to be the next mayor because of the work that you've done in Brooklyn. But it was a tough weekend in Brooklyn. You saw what happened at the Barclays on Sunday with the anti-vaxxers and them wanting Kyrie to play. What do you think about all these mandates that are happening right now?
Well, I know what COVID did to our city. You know, I was there and, you know, sister, I was on the ground. A lot of people fled, but, you know, I was there and led some of these battles that we had. And I lost 5 close friends during the height of COVID in the same week. And I saw family members dropping their loved ones off to hospitals, never to see them again. Our city economy took a devastating hit. And so I'm laying all that out because this is a serious virus. COVID is a formidable opponent. And I believe the NBA and Kyrie can sit down and come to a conclusion. But I'm a supporter on city employees getting vaccinated, particularly those first responders. I believe that we have to make sure we don't return to those days where morgue trucks was lined up at the hospitals. I feel that all of us have experienced PTSD when COVID was out of control, and we can't go back to that.
crime in New York City has gone up crazy. How are we going to make sure that we get crime down a lot? People are scared to go out to eat at restaurants. People are scared to go out to nightlife. People are scared to go anywhere in New York City because it seems like the robberies are up. How do we control that and stop that?
And you're right, Brother Envy. And it has a lot to do. I use this term often on the campaign trail because I believe it. It's intervention and prevention. Prevention is, you know, there are the long-term things we must do. Let's look at where the prison population is and do an analysis of it, and we can find out what we need to do to prevent it. 30% of the people in prisons in our country are dyslexic. 55% have a learning disability, and 80% don't have a high school diploma or equivalency diploma. That tells us that it's education. So if we want to prevent the feeders of crime, we have to deal with the educational crises that we experience, because if you don't educate, you will incarcerate. But then we have to deal with right now, and that's the intervention. And so we have to stop the flow of guns in our city that's coming from the southern state. That was part of the conversation I had with President Biden when I was able to go sit down with him. We need to put in place a gang and gun task force here in this city so we can do precision policing on those gang members that are really causing a lot of the shootings and stabbings that you're seeing in the city. But it can't be just heavy-handed. I met with some of the top gang members. Some of them have bodies, and some of them have cases for bodies. And I sat down with them and said, listen, we have to deal with ending this violence in our city, and I want to continue to collaborate with them, crisis management teams, and others who are doing amazing jobs to stem the violence in our city.
You know, it is, we do check in quite frequently, so I know a lot of times we'll be repetitive in some of the things that we discuss, but I know you also have your final debate with Curtis Sliwa ahead of November 2nd. So let me ask you this. I saw there was like some back and forth about him saying that you refused to shake his hand and you calling him a clown.
You called him a clown?
Well, isn't he? I mean, come on. That is not something that's unique to us. Curtis is not a serious candidate. He doesn't think this is a serious issue. He believes this is some type of gang. And New York is not a circus. And I'm not going to participate in his buffoonery. And, you know, he wants to pull me into a slugfest, not talking about the issues. If you know, I was in the studio before Curtis. Curtis came in after me. I was taught as a child, when you walk in the room, you approach the person and you shake their hands. I'm not going in my way or out of my way to shake his hand or not. I think it's just another way of distracting us. I tell my team, stay focused, no distractions, and work hard and grind. That's it. I don't know any of this other stuff that he's trying to put into the race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in D.C. over the weekend, downtown D.C., and sometimes I frequent to Florida. And I noticed, even Toronto, I noticed that their cities, their downtowns look so damn clean, man. You could literally probably eat something off the floor. But
no,
then when
you
walk through Manhattan, well, first of all, you can't get no food off the floor because the rats are there before you get it. How can we possibly clean up New York City, and how can we clean up, you know, some of the homelessness that's going on in New York right now?
I love that question, Brother Envy, because cleanliness is next to godliness. And that's what Mom told me as a child. And you're right. When you leave the airport and drive on the belt or the van wick, you see lined on the highway, the sides of the road is nothing but trash. You're seeing encampments returning. You're seeing garbage everywhere. You're dead on. It's not your imagination. And we need to go into a real cleaning plan. It's about how do we make our city visibly presentable and clean? You know, no matter what you're going through, darn it, you have to be clean. And we need to deal with this street homelessness problem. I'm going to partner with organizations like Fountain House. It's an amazing organization. They give wraparound services to people who are dealing with mental health illnesses and can't live on their own. So they provide those services to them. That is when you see street homelessness, for the most part, you're dealing with people with mental health illnesses, and we need to give them the support that they deserve. And then we just need to clean our city. We need to change the culture of, let me just throw paper wherever I want. Let me just put bags out with trash that are left open. So we need to change that culture and then zero in on the rat problem. You know, all of us know we're seeing an increase in the level of rodents. We need to zero in. I had a device that was called Rat Trap. It was an amazing device. We're going to see about deploying those rat traps throughout the city, particularly in high areas where rodents is a serious problem.
All right. Well, I know it's a busy day for you, so we'll let you go. But, you know, you got to keep on checking in with us, even when you become the mayor.
Absolutely.
I'll be there to celebrate with you on November 2nd for sure.
Thank you. And when we break big news, we're going to come right to your show, sister. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you. You have been a solid, solid businesswoman, a solid, you know, radio personality. But, you know, you in the community, you're doing some real good things. You, DJ Envy, and the whole crew there. And I thank you guys how you use this modem of communications to really empower people. And I appreciate you so much. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Now, shout to Derek Lewis from Pepsi, Pinky Cole from Slutty Vegan, and Derek Hayes from Big Frank's Cheese.
I thought it was Dave.
What did I say, Big Frank?
Yeah. Okay.
If you want Big Franks, you want Big Franks.
All righty.
I like Big Franks, and I cannot lie.
You do?
You other Franks can't deny.
Okay.
And when Big Frank falls in your face, say it, Envy.
No,
finish
it's
it.
Your song. We actually going to take that audio. Use it later. Big Dave's Cheesesteak, we appreciate you guys for joining us. And don't forget, my car show is less than 4 days, man. Excited to see you guys in Detroit. If you haven't got your tickets, get your tickets now. It's going to be a lot of fun, family fun and all that. I'm getting my costumes and the kids' costumes ready to see
what y'all. What you going to be?
I don't know yet.
All right. Well, make sure y'all check me out. I'm going to be on Nick Cannon's show today.
Nice. What time?
It depends on where you are.
Oh. All right. Well, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
I do, man. First of all, I want to tell everybody thank you for watching The God's Honest Truth on Comedy Central. We back with new episodes this Friday at 10 p.m. And make sure to stream it on Paramount Plus, man. You know, we're constantly trending on Paramount Plus. So I thank y'all for that. All right. And the positive note is simply this. The only thing we never get enough of is love. And the only thing we never give enough of is love. Remember that.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.